You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's your girl Stormy Maya, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. This week, I sit with Stormy Maya, the model, actress, musician, entrepreneur, hustler. Stormy she's on fire. She's prolific. She's controversial, outspoken, not afraid to say what's on her mind. She's got some great stories about the career that she's building, about running into haters who don't think she can do what she sets her mind to. She talks about some of the shitty men that she comes into contact with as a woman in this business, and I really appreciate her willingness to say whatever's on her mind and just keep going and stay focused on her goals and not let all that stuff get in the way. It's a great interview. I hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it right now.
Yeah, cool. Well, I appreciate you making time for this. I've been following you. I think I probably discovered you from Hustlers, and I've been following you online. I like what you're doing. And so on this show, it's all about people kind of creating their own paths and creating their own life and career and brands out of this culture that we love. So I'm excited to talk to you and kind of see what you're up to and learn a little bit about the journey that you've been on and where you're going next.
All right, dope. I'm ready.
Cool. I want to talk about some of the stuff you've been doing this year, but I always like to kind of start at the beginning. So do you remember the first record that you ever bought for yourself?
Bought?
Yeah. Or maybe chose on your own. Like it wasn't your parents or, it was like your music.
Oh, well, I'm the generation of LimeWire and MP3Skull.com. I used to go to, we used to have our MP3 players and we had our websites. We would go and get our free music on. We would always download it. We never bought it because we had no money.
Sure, sure. Of course.
But I've always been very unique with my music because I like lots of different types of music. So I'm not, stuck on one genre. Even as a kid, I've always really loved Motown. I loved old school music a lot. I loved 90s hits. I loved old school hip hop. I also loved at the time, they used to call it bubblegum rap. Uh-huh. Back when I was in middle school and stuff like that.
So give me an example. What's one of those songs?
I used to love the New Boys. This one's gonna be the Jerk song.
Okay.
She still have dressed. She like a real jerk. She loved it for this stuff. There's a whole party later, but all I can hear was wah, wah.
Soulja Boy was the shit back in the day. So that's what they called the bubblegum rap, I suppose. That's what they were calling it then. I don't know if they call it that still. Right. And you know, I thought I loved that. I loved the old school hits. I was a real big fan of NWA and Public Enemy when I was in middle school and high school. So I used to like really hardcore tracks. I loved really grungy rap. And I also loved metal. I loved, you know, like bands like I love Linkin Park. I love Korn, My Chemical Romance. I also like really love classic rock like Aerosmith, Def Leppard. So I've always been a lover of music. I love music in general of all genres. I love pop music. I love Britney Spears. I love Christina Aguilera. Like, I'm not like some people who are like, oh no, I only like this. I love like something kind of out of every genre. Like, I love the Cranberries, and then I love Michael Jackson. I love Prince. I like, you know, I love Madonna. Like, I just like music. So when I was young, I would just like download a bunch of tracks from everywhere. Right. And, you know, I was always like on YouTube, like discovering new tracks is how I'd find out about, you call it the bubblegum rappers. And they had all these like I guess they would be called underground bubblegum rappers at the time. I don't really remember their names, but there was a lot of groups like New Boys and stuff like that at the time. And they all had kind of like that similar vibe. Everyone was making that music that they had dance moves to at the time. And I thought that was fire. So, yeah.
Nice. That's cool. And so how did you go from that? How'd you get started making music?
I've been making music forever. I've been making music since I was about 12 years old, but professionally, I've only been making music for about 2 years. So I started making music when I was around 12, and I would just like write little raps, do little freestyles at my school.
Just like at school kind of thing.
Yeah, like in school, we would do it for fun. Like, you know, we would battle or whatever. And I remember, you know, we just had fun with it. And it wasn't something that was like super serious. You know, we just had fun with it. And then when I got into high school, I was still really much into music. So I took classes in music production, and I took a lot of courses. Mm-hmm. As far as like how to use the equipment, you know, the microphones and stuff like that. But it was more like the science behind it. So it was more about like how sound is registered and that type of stuff. And I, you know, it wasn't as fun as I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be more like, you know, making music, but it was actually more about the science behind it. But I was taking courses in that. And, you know, at the time I was still really interested in like doing rap music, stuff like that. But I was like 15, you know, 16, whatever. And then I went into a career of modeling and acting, and I didn't get into music professionally. And so like I said, 2018, and it's because my manager / producer, I had met him on many film sets. He is a videographer, director, you know, edits a lot of music videos in that scene. And we had met a couple of times because I was hired as a model for a bunch of music videos. And we kind of stayed in touch. And, you know, he saw I was getting, you know, my followers. I was doing a lot of stuff. And he's like, yo, you should get into music. You should try to get into it professionally. And I was like, yo, I've been wanting to. I just don't know how. Because I really didn't. I didn't know, like how, what's the first step? Like how to get in the studio? Like how to, like I was writing music, but I didn't have the proper science to it, the proper structure. Like I really didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a science to it. Like the way the hook is laid out, the you know, the 16 bars. And so no one ever like really broke that down to me, you know? So someone like him was great. Cause he came in and he like broke it down for me. Like, you know, the science behind it. And he also trained me through the studio of how to record. And so basically he came into my life as a mentor, and he wasn't the only one trying to proposition me at the time. I had a whole bunch of people trying to get me into music around the same time, which is kind of funny, but had a whole bunch of people like, yo, you should get to music. You should get to music because, you know, they're seeing these girls get the followers and they're like, yo, we should get, you know, get these girls into music. We'll get money or whatever. But I actually took it seriously and I actually love it. And it's something that I've been wanting to do forever. Like I said, I just didn't know how to. So
nice. Yeah. And so when did that, so if I hear you correctly, like you started out kind of making music as a hobby and then you got into the acting and modeling thing, and then kind of came back to music. And so when did it become clear to you, or maybe if it has, like what's the career path that you're building? Like, was there a moment where you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do? Or is that, you know, talk to me about that.
Basically, music is my main priority. I do everything. I do a bunch of things, but music's my priority. It's the main thing that I'm pursuing. And basically that's because it feels the most natural to me, and I love it the most, and I love the fact that it's mine, I'm in control of it, and I love that I can be myself with it. I got into modeling just as a way to escape my current situation. At the time, I was like 16, I was going through homelessness and foster care, a whole bunch of stuff like that, and, you know, people were approaching me like, you should be a model, whatever, and you know, it seemed like a great way to kind of escape what was going on in my life. And, you know, I ended up making money from it and you know, build a career. It was like the most clear path to kind of getting out of my situation, like kind of a come up. And it did work. Like, because of it, within a couple years of me doing modeling, starting at 16, I was doing music videos on the daily. I was getting paid, even though it was like local stuff at first. I was making some money. Like, I get paid a couple $100 for a photo shoot. And that would help me pay rent. I would do little events and stuff and make money here and there. I was networking. And it's a lot easier to get through the door as a female modeling because, you know, when it comes to music, people can be kind of sexist and dismissive. And, you know, you're competing among these guys and you have to earn all this respect. But with modeling, you know, if you're a pretty girl, automatically they're just like, whatever, you can be a model. So it was a great way to get through the door, you know, build my brand up, build a fan base. And then with acting, that was my first reality check of how people, they don't mind looking at you, but they might not like what you have to say. And they might, when you start trying to do something, I guess, more serious, that's where you start getting the criticism. So I got a lot of hate when I started doing acting. People were kind of like, bitch, stick to being a model. And people are really hateful. And then as soon as I started doing big projects, working among big stars, working among big directors, people turn around and they're like, oh my God, I'm such a supporter. And so the music was the same thing. Got into music. People were like, bitch, you should stick to acting. You know, nobody cares about what you have to say. I had really strong opinions that people didn't like. And, about 2 years later, now people are starting to respect me. People have a music fan base growing, have people who actually like my music and they're funneling for my music. So I think that all these industries just take a while for people to respect you and take you seriously because you're like, oh, okay, let's see if she actually is gonna stick with this or if it's just for clout or whatever, you know.
You might remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned Everly Well. It's a company that makes at-home lab testing easy. Well, I got my Everly Well at-home lab test, and I tested myself for allergies, which if you know me, I've suffered from all different types of allergies my whole life. A few days ago, I got the results back. They showed me that I'm allergic to... Actually, I thought I was going to have more allergies. Mostly, it's just dust. There's a couple other things, olive trees, which I don't think we have around here. And a couple other things, but you know, really help me understand that dust is the main issue, that we got to keep things clean around here if I want to stay off the meds. So Everly Well has been really helpful to me to have a better understanding of what's going on with my health and what affects that. They offer over 30 at-home lab tests from food sensitivity, different vitamins, STDs, metabolism, women's health, testosterone, much, much more. Each test comes with super easy to follow instructions. Like I told you last time, it took me a couple minutes. It was really easy. And you just seal it up, mail it off, and the results came back quickly, digitally, and you know, easy to understand and share with my doctors and all that stuff. So check out Everly Well today. For 20% off an Everly Well at-home lab test, visit everlywell.com/rebelradio and enter the code Rebel Radio. That's everlywell.com/rebelradio, code Rebel Radio for 20% off your test. Everly Well at-home lab tests, your answers, your way.
So talk about that a little bit. I mean, to me, that's, you know, I'm not surprised, but it's interesting to hear that, like, so each new thing you tried is, you know, you get a bunch of resistance, right? You get a bunch of haters.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, people just don't like when you're someone who can do multiple things, like when you're someone who can do a lot of things. I feel like they're intimidated by it because the average person can't really do one great thing. I know that sounds freaking terrible, but a lot of people can't.
I think it's true.
corporate thing. And so I think when they see a person doing multiple things that are great, then they're hateful, and there's their own insecurities projecting onto you, because a lot of people do not live their dreams. They do not do the things that they want to do in life. And so to see you do maybe like two or three things that you dream to do, or things that people would consider dream careers, I think that that angers them, because they're like, I can't even do this. How are you able to do all three of these things, or two of those things?
So what does that do for you? How do you process that when, you know, people's comments are, they are whatever they are, right? And so people love to talk shit online. You know, what do you do? Like, what's your, like, does it affect you? Do you have some way that you kind of, you know, push past it or let it roll off you?
I don't care what random people on the internet have to say, because that in no way, shape, or form affects my life. Like, it's not like they're going to take it from me. So it doesn't really matter. I find it flattering that people care about what I do. I actually would be more insulted if people didn't have an opinion. I'd be more insulted if people didn't watch my every move. So there are times where you get aggravated as a creator when you have a bunch of people criticizing or talking shit. Of course, that gets annoying for anybody, because it's just like, okay, whatever. You're hearing the same thing to be from 50 different people, and you're just like, you know, you get kind of like, all right, shut up. But does it actually affect my mood or affect how I feel about myself? No, because I do what I do to make myself happy. I am happy. I feel blessed. I work really hard for what I have. So I'm not going to let somebody who's just miserable in life ruin that for me. Because clearly, if you're a happy person or successful, you're not going to like hate on me for doing whatever the hell I'm doing. So these are clearly miserable, angry people. So, you know, you can't take them that seriously.
Sure. Do you think that, you know, you talked about going through the foster system and some of those challenges growing up. So how does that, what do you take with you from that into this phase of your life? Like, what are the tools or the lessons that, you know, from that part of your life that are useful today?
Well, I think that's why I don't give a damn about the things that other people give a damn about. I think that's why I'm not as sensitive or as easily phased, because I've been through real life struggles. I've survived real things. I have seen real things. I have fought for my life. I have fought for necessity. So, you know, something as simple as people not liking me on social media and not liking my opinion is not really that big of a deal to me. Like, okay, I say a lot of things people might find controversial or they don't agree with me. And I think as a creator, it's great to be in a mental space that you don't care. You're going to still create what you want to create. You're still going to be unapologetic and do what you want to do. And coming from a hard background has made it easy for me, because I'm like, honey, I've had situations where I haven't had a place to sleep that night. I've had situations where I haven't had food or, you know, money for the bus, stuff like that. So for me to come from something like that and then be in a blessed situation and then have people criticize it, I really can't sit back and be miserable, because it's like, I'm so happy that I have everything that I need. And, you know, I mean, a couple of years since I've gone through my struggles. So I think that's what it's mostly prepared me for. It's prepared me for life, because now I'm just like, the fuck is y'all arguing about some simple shit? You know, I got food. I got a place to live. I have like money. Like, I'm not sitting here stressing no damn people on Instagram talking shit. Like, talk shit. You're hating, you're jealous, you're angry, miserable. Like,
right.
Too bad. Like, get over it.
That's right. So like you said, you know, sometimes you say things, you know, you say what's on your mind, maybe some things that are controversial. Cause you know, I know that celebrities or influencers or anybody in the public eye, like, you know, it's easy for certain things to get blown out of proportion or whatever. So besides not necessarily caring what other people think, is there anything you've come out and said that maybe you look back on and kind of regretted, or it was like not, you know, maybe you felt it at the moment, but later on it's like not, okay.
I say what I say. If I said it, I meant it. And even if I said it in the past and I meant it then, I'm not going to apologize for it now, because I meant it at that time. I've never said anything hateful. I've never said anything colorist. I've never said anything homophobic or anything like that, because I don't have an evil heart, and all these people coming out and apologizing, you know, they full of shit, because that's the way they felt then, that's the way they feel now. I don't believe in this, oh, people change. Like, no, that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I've never said anything racist, never said anything like that. People don't like me because I'm very, I don't say people don't like me. I think some people don't like what I have to say because I'm unapologetic in what I say. And, you know, for example, some people might complain that I'm very pro-black. I'm very, like, far liberal when it comes to females and female rights, because I'm very pro-sex worker. I'm pro-females doing what the fuck they want to do with their bodies. I'm pro, when I say I'm pro-black too, I'm not like this fake pro-black of, oh my God, we're Democrats and, you know, we're also like, you know, no, no. I'm pro-black, meaning that I'm for what's best for the black community, whether or not the black community agrees with it. And, you know, in the day, that's me. I stand by what I stand by. If someone wants to prove me wrong and educate me on something, then I'm open to listen to it. But for the most part, everything I say out my mouth, I mean it. So that's it.
No, I appreciate that, because I feel like, you know, obviously we're in an environment where everybody's speaking whatever's on their minds. And, you know, like you said, there's this, like, you know, these kind of standard lines from the Democrats, from the, you know, conservatives, from the whatever. Yeah. And I think, you know, the reality is, you know, there's all kinds of different perspectives, right? And it's not just one, you know, there's not just one necessarily right answer that, or belief system that's going to fit everybody.
Well, I think the main problem is they don't, I think the main problem is black folks have been enslaved to thinking that we only are allowed to think a certain way. Meanwhile, there's white Republicans, white Democrats, white folks who don't give a fuck. But with black people, it's like, you know, we all feel like we got to think one way. We think y'all got to believe one way, or, oh, you're not for blackness, or you're not for this. And I think that's one thing that's damaging us as a community, is that we should allow diversity in our black community as far as mindsets, because then we'll have players on every team. You know, I think we should also open our eyes to the history. I'm not really a big politic fan. I don't like talking about politics. I think it's all full of shit. I don't like anybody. I don't like anybody running. I don't like anybody at all. So, end of the day, I don't even get involved with it. Did an interview yesterday and we got into politics and I really wasn't feeling it. But, I have an opinion. I just know that nobody's going to understand my opinion. Right. But I think that we should normalize black folks having opinions. And I think we should normalize black folks having unpopular opinions, especially when it comes to politics.
Sure. Well, I'm not going to get into politics with you. That's not my thing either. But
no point.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So talk about the acting though, because you had some, you know, you were in Hustlers with J-Lo. Mm-hmm. I know you were in She's Gotta Have It with Spike Lee. You know, some big projects. What does that do Like, I think it's kind of a steady grind that you're just, you know, you're building your career and your credits and your fan base and all that. And so, you know, does something like Hustlers or anything in your the work you've done change the game, right? Where like the next day or, you know, the next month, the phone starts ringing or people respond to you in a different way because you've done that one thing.
Definitely. People are fake as fuck. And I mean, two different people who always come like that. It's not just with doing a movie. That's any type of thing that you do that's successful. Like when I got on the radio for the first time, you know, you got people who do that. When I got on the radio the first time, it was like a whole boatload of people.
What song was that?
Black Name Magic. And it was on Hot 97, Sirius XM, Shade 45, BBC Radio 1. Like, so, you know, when anytime you do like a little type of accomplishment, I will say, you definitely get these boatloads of people like from high school, cousins, you know, just random people out of nowhere. And I've had that happen to me for years now. Like every time I do something, even when I dropped Black Man Magic music video recently, I got a whole bunch of people from high school talking shit, sharing it, hitting me up. So every time I do any type of accomplishment, you get people just boom. Hustlers was great because even if you're not checking for me, your ass definitely went to the theaters to watch it. And if you were a hating ass bitch, you got to see me anyway. And you got to see me in all my glory. And so it's kind of funny because even if somebody doesn't want to follow me on Instagram or if they don't want to support me, they still got to see my ass. So that was funny. But definitely it brought a lot of people to be like, oh, what's going on? And yeah, it's definitely one of those notches of where you can't go backwards. So you have all these people who thought you weren't the shit back in the day, didn't want to put you in their film or didn't want to work with you or thought you weren't good enough for this and that. And then they want to come out the woodwork and be like, oh, hey, look at her now. I had that happen with the modeling stuff back in the day. I remember when I first started off, I had all these people, you know, these little fake industry nobody people who at the time I was like, oh my God, it'd be a big deal. And they turned their nose up at me. I had this one woman who said I wasn't good enough to be in her little agency and, you know, said I couldn't hold a candle to the chick she had. And I had people who wouldn't put me in their shows because they said, oh, I wasn't good enough or whatever. People just being really hateful and mean towards me. And then years later, I'm seeing them post my pictures up on Instagram or Facebook talking about, oh, this is me and her back in the day. And, you know, I'm so happy that she's here now. And, you know, people are fake as fuck. And they didn't want to be like, hey, girl, what's up? And I've had so many ex-photographers or ex-friends or ex-industry people in general just do that to me, you know, hit me up like, oh, hey, girl. And I'm like, I remember you from such and such time ago. Don't fucking hit me up, bitch. I don't believe in that fake shit. I'm not a fake person. I'm very honest and real. And, you know, I even had recently this dude that I wanted to invest in a movie of mine a couple years ago. And he disrespected me to the max because he was like, oh, if you want money for your movie, you know, I can invest in you. And I was like, oh, I was so happy because at the time I was just starting to get into filmmaking. And as you, I don't know if you know, but I just finished making my first feature film as a creator and a director. So. Okay. I just finished a movie called Shark, and it's a hip hop movie that I wrote and I directed, and we just finished everything. And, you know, now we're shopping it out to buyers and stuff like that. So back in the day, a couple years ago, I was trying to get into that. And homeboy was like, yeah, you know, I'll invest in you. And, you know, he had a couple projects he was doing, and I was so excited because I'm like, yes, I need an investor to help me. And he was like, oh, well, if you want this money, you're going to have to fuck me. You're going to have to do this and that. Very disrespectful. And I didn't like the fact that he approached me like that because I was like, number one, we were already cool before. And it's just totally disrespectful, you know, to approach me that way. I'm trying to do a business proposition. You're trying to talk about, oh, well, you're going to have to fuck me for this money. Like, what the hell? And then he tried to hit me up a couple weeks ago on some, hey, girl, oh my God, I'm so happy to see where you're at. And I was like, ignore, didn't even answer homeboy. And he has the nerve to be like, I don't know what I did, but you're not answering me. And I'm just like, bitch, you know what the fuck you did. Same, you know, last story about it. Had another guy back in the day about 4 or 5 years ago when I got, you know, I was still new to the modeling game, still new to the industry shit. Wasn't in acting yet. And I had this agency dude come to me, and I was so happy because he books real big music videos and he books real big campaigns, like, you know, that, you know, stuff with A-listers and stuff like that. And it was a big come up for me because, you know, I was doing a lot of local stuff, a lot of things for local artists, up and coming people. So he was like doing stuff for like Chief Keef and like, you know, bigger artists, Kanye West, stuff like that. So I was like, oh my God. And he was like, yeah, you know, so he got me a couple gigs. I did a couple music videos with him, did a couple shows with him, made some good money. And then once he like gave me a taste of what he can offer, he was like, oh yeah, so now that you see what I can do, I'm gonna need you to fuck me if you wanna keep getting these gigs, these jobs, whatever. And he would always talk openly about the girls that were a part of the agency that would fuck him and stuff like that. And I was just like, nah, bro. Like, to me, I said, don't understand that mentality. Like, you know, you're not a sugar daddy. This is a job. This is me going and working. Like, why would I have to fuck you to go work? It makes no sense. So I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't roll like that. And, you know, we ended up not working together because clearly I wasn't going to take his proposition. And he hit me up once again, maybe a couple months ago on some, hey, you know, my God, you're still beautiful. Got ignored, got fucking blocked. Got in, like, fuck you, bitch. I tried to come and see me do my little come up. And now you want to come and kiss my ass. So, and, you know, they're basically little examples for you of how I get that all the time. That's like two stories out of a thousand, you know.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's fucked up. That's disgusting that
it's very common
in that way.
People take advantage of.
I'm not surprised.
People. I'm not surprised either, but to me, I have no problem with people fucking their way to the top. I have no problem with people fucking for what they want. That's cool. What I do not like is people trying to take people's vulnerabilities or taking people's, you know, people aspire so hard for these positions and to basically bully them or to force them into a sexual situation is a form of rape, and it's creepy and weird. You know, people are desperate to make money or desperate to get accomplishments, and to hold that over someone's head for sexual gratification is disgusting. You know, and I don't respect it at all. I mean, that's like a form of, like I said, it's a form of rape. It's creepy. So I'm good. I don't like that.
If you're enjoying this one and you like hearing outspoken people who say whatever's on their mind, we can go back into Rebel Radio archives. Check out, I actually had him on twice, Rude Jude from the All Out Show on Shade 45 Sirius XM. Jude is the author of two books, Hummingbird and Hyena, autobiographical tales of his crazy life that he's been through. And he's definitely a polarizing character. Some people love him, some people might get offended, that's your problem, but anyway, go ahead and check those out if you like.
Tell me about Shark.
So Shark, I'm so proud of it. It is a feature film. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. It is a movie that I wrote and directed. And I started a little bit. I'm only in it for maybe like two or three scenes because I was focusing on really making the movie, and kind of hard to do both. And it follows the story of two rappers. And it's, I guess you would call it like it's a hip hop comedy drama. So it got a lot of hip hop in it, a lot of music. And then it also has a lot of comedic moments. And overall, it's the tone of it's, you know, drama. And it follows the story of two rappers, two different come ups, two different obstacles, and they come from two different locations. One's from Montreal, Canada, one's from Baltimore, and moves to New York. And it's a very unique movie because it's really real, it's really down to earth. It has like some real like 90s black movie type feels, and it also has like a lot of Spike Lee, you know, realistic type feels. And it gives you kind of like that feeling of back to the day we used to watch Friday and those types of movies. And that's really what I miss. I miss like those really good black shows from back in the day, movies and stuff like that. And the thing that's really unique about the movie is we actually go to all these different locations. We go to Florida, we go to New York, we go to Montreal, we go to LA, we go to Virginia. And in all these places we go at, we get different music, different artists. We get a different outlook on hip hop and these people's stories. And so it's very funny and unique and interesting. And yeah, it's out of my crazy mind. So, I mean, I hope people like it. And yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of it. And, you know, like I said, it's my first movie. So obviously there's some things I learned from it. There's some things I would change. You know, I obviously would want to make it perfect, but I feel like it's the first movie, put it out there, learn from it, and then make better ones.
What's your problem? Good on my NY shit. New York,
big city of dreams. Whether you come from BK or come from Queens, either you work or you. So the basically the beats ain't exclusive. Everybody got them and we got hustle.
I ain't gonna hear any of that. And I mean by any means necessary. We need to get that money back.
I want you to fucking kill me. Or you move them things, we all the same.
And so what's the goal with that? You're shopping it?
Right, yeah. I mean, just
traditionally or is what's the plan?
So, you know, I've been a producer for movies before. And so I have connections with distributors and getting movies sold and all that type of stuff. But I'm not really sure what I want to do yet with the movie. Clearly, the most important thing is for people to watch it. So if there wasn't COVID, like I had this whole plan of like festivals and all that. I know they're doing online festivals. I haven't really done much research, but that to my, in the beginning, when I first started doing this movie, I was like, oh, you know, shopping around, go to festivals and win some awards and people to get their eyes on it. You know, get it all the love and attention it deserves. Such a unique movie, and then put it out to the public. But at this point, I think I'm going to do maybe a couple online festivals, you know, and then right away I'm going to send it off to some connections I have, distribution connections I have, and, you know, see what the best option for the movie is. If not, I'll take the money and I'll just market the fuck out of the movie and sell it on Amazon Prime or something. Like, you know, worst comes to worst, but
that's right.
But I'm more about people watching it more than I am the money. So it's not really about the biggest offer. It's more about like I just want the movie to be marketed. I want the movie to get a lot of attention, and it's gonna put a lot of people on the map because there's so much independent music in it. The whole soundtrack of the movie is independent artists that submitted music to me. The actors are mostly rappers that we've made actors. Like the two main guys are actual rappers, and they're doing original music in the movie. And we have actual cameos from rappers, and so it's a true hip hop film.
That's cool. Can't wait to see it.
Yes, you will see it.
That's exciting. Can we talk about hair for a minute?
Okay.
Because, I mean, I love your hair. It's amazing. You know, it's definitely, I think of it as kind of part of your brand.
I guess it's become that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, you know, we see, you know, if you follow you online, you see your hairstyles change. And you talk about it, and you talk about, you know, how people have, you know, people's opinions of your hair over the years. And then when I was doing my little research, you know, I saw like old photos where your hair was straight and blonde and all that. And I feel like you're, you know, to me, this, like, I feel like this is part of your superpower. So,
what is that superpower?
I don't know. That's not for me to say.
It was a journey. Basically, back in the day, I used to wear weave. I used to relax my hair. I used to straighten my hair. I did different color weaves. I had blonde weave for like 2 years, and I went natural in 2017. I shaved my head. And my hair was so damaged. It was so bleach damaged, and it was heat damaged. It was like everything. So I shaved my head, and my whole intention was kind of like, all right, you know, I'll start from scratch. And then as my hair started growing out, for the first time in my life, I was seeing my real hair texture. My hair has been getting relaxed my whole life. So I never really got any chance to embrace my natural hair texture, anything like that. So hair started to grow out. And, you know, I had, like, no intention of keeping it natural and no intention of not straightening it. But, I don't know, I kind of started, like, experimenting with it. And I was, like, you know, playing around with wearing it. And I ended up falling in love with it. And I realized how liberated and free I felt as a Black woman to actually like my hair texture. And, you know, I never meant to be, like, this soapbox. My God, black hair, I think that I had to go through that journey myself first before I could start preaching. But once I realized how liberated I felt, then I was just like, hell, this is the way to go. Like, I'm not going backwards, because, you know, the problem isn't, okay, Black women straightening their hair. I have no problem with Black women straightening their hair, wearing straight weave, whatever. I don't think there's anything wrong with people doing what the fuck they want to do. My problem is the shame that comes with it. That's where I had realized that, oh, I'm not straightening my hair, wearing straight weave because, oh, I like it. I'm doing it because I've been told my whole life that my texture is ugly, my texture is bad, my texture is not acceptable, my texture is unprofessional. And when I kind of realized that it was more of this policing system of my hair and not necessarily, oh, just a personal preference, then that's where I started getting kind of angry. And I was like, fuck this. Like, this is like a big F you to the system. As an actress and as a model, my hair has always been an issue. Even back when I used to have it straightened, it was never straightened enough. It was always like, they would get mad at me on photo sets because they'd wet my shit would puff up. Or, you know, if it was humid, my hair would puff up. And my hair was never as silky or straight as the white girls or the Asian girls or whatever. And I would do gigs and people would make complaints about my hair. And at the time, when I first started modeling and all that, I used to just straighten it. But then it wasn't like it was still not the right texture. So I started wearing wigs and weaves and stuff like that, because when I was on set, like I said, like if it would get wet, stuff like that, it would get messed up. So the weave and the wigs will prevent that. But then, like I said, I started realizing it was like, I felt in prison. Like, I remember I would turn down gigs. I would turn down events if I didn't have my hair done. So, like, if I couldn't get my hair done the day before, if I couldn't get my weave in, I wouldn't go to work. I wouldn't go to events. I would turn down acting jobs or modeling jobs. And it was like, oh, my God, my hair is so ugly, I can't wear it. And I remember I'd have photographers beg me, like, yo, wear your natural hair, just wear your hair. And I'd be like, it'd be like, no, no, no. Like, it'd be a big deal. Like, no, it's so ugly. Oh, my God, oh, my God. So finding love for my own texture definitely liberated me as a Black woman. And I love the fact that I'm helping normalize different textures of hair. And I'm just doing that by example, like putting it on the big screen, putting it in music videos, making it something that's sexy. Just being one of the people who contribute to that, because the difference is between that and other alterations that women make is that this is something that literally workplaces and school systems are against. You know, we have Black women, Black men who can't wear their natural hair to work. They're told to wear their hair straightened to work or cut their afros. They can't wear locks. They can't wear braids to school. They can't wear them to work. And our hair is being policed unlike any other people. And so this is a bigger issue than just preference. This is actually something that's been against us forever. We used to have to wear our hair in scars because white women were, you know, they were insecure about themselves looking at our hair, and they used to not like their men looking at our hair. So we used to have to cover our hair for their insecurities. And then we had to straighten our hair to work in their workplaces. Our hair has been policed forever. And so I think it's so liberating for a Black woman to say, fuck you, take her power back, wear her natural crown. And now you got all these white girls trying to wear box braids and fucking cornrows and all this other shit that we're not allowed to wear ourselves. So I think, you know, for me, that's why I wear it. It's, like I said, it's liberating. It makes me feel like I'm embracing my culture, who I am as a Black woman. It looks like I'm not trying to hide what I am. To me, it's like a big fist in the air, displaying it to everyone. And I think it makes a statement as a Black woman. I think it shows my Black pride. And I think it shows that I'm not trying to pass. I'm not trying to disguise myself to European standards. And so for me, it's a whole lot of reasons why I wear my fro. And I only will wear a fro texture. I will only wear Black hair texture. I will only wear Black hair styles. I have gotten in trouble on set as an actress and as a model since going natural. I've had fights with my agent, I've had fights with directors because of it. And I always tell people the quote I got from Tracee Ellis Ross: if you hire me, you hire my hair, because we're the only people that you will hire for a job and then want us to wear another culture's texture. That makes no sense to me. Like, if you hire a white girl, she's probably never going to face a situation of having to wear a Black person's hair texture for a gig, versus we'll get hired for an acting club. And it's like, oh, we want you to have this European white woman hair texture that we just, you know, it's possible for a Black woman to have that texture. It is possible, but it's just extremely rare. So I find it extremely insulting that you'd hire me as a black actress and then be like, oh, your hair's too black. No. So that's my opinion.
No, I love it. And I love, you know, you talk about the feeling of liberation, making that choice. And I think, like, you know, everything we're talking about, you come across very, you know, confident, very sure of who you are. And so to me, like, that's part of it. Right. Is, you know, we all have to find that comfort in our own skin. And
yeah. And like I said, you know, I reiterate it. I have no problem with women who don't want to. There are black women who want to wear their hair straight or relaxed, and it might not be self-hate. It could be that that's their preference of what they like. Because a lot of people are confused when it comes to me, because I'm the same person who's pro plastic surgery. I definitely love plastic surgery. I'm down for it. And they're always confused on, you know, how could someone be pro black hair and then pro plastic surgery or pro weave? It's like, well, it boils down, sweetheart, to pro people doing what the fuck they want. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Black hair currently is not in a position of you do what the fuck you want. Black women currently are not allowed in every workplace or school system or whatever to wear their natural hair. So I'm fighting for something that's not a freedom yet. You could have your titties done and or not have them done. That's not going to affect you getting an office job. No one's going to say, oh, you don't have your boobs done, so you can't work here. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a thing. So that's the difference between me fighting so hard for natural hair versus, you know, body parts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
Well, people sometimes, I just wanted to clarify that, because a lot of times don't understand the difference, and it's like, well, basically, sure. I'm pro women doing what the fuck they want. And currently, this is the one area physically that black women especially are not free to do. So,
So speaking of body parts, I know you have OnlyFans. It seems like that's blowing up since COVID. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just hearing about OnlyFans more now, like people are talking about it. But, you know, I wonder, has like the pandemic kind of affected, you know, what that business is like for you?
No, not at all. It doesn't affect it at all. If anything, it's gone up. The numbers
that's
have
what
gone
I mean.
Up.
No, that's what I mean.
It doesn't affect it negatively. People are just not hearing about it because celebrities are talking about it. But I've been on there for 3 years. So it's funny to see, like, all these celebrities now on there. And a lot of girls were angry. A lot of sex workers were angry because they're like, oh, they're, you know, on there taking over our platform. But see, I'm an adapter, and that's why I will always succeed. I see the positives in things when it comes to business. And this is just bringing more people to be aware of it. How these motherfuckers didn't even know OnlyFans was, you know, when it was just me and a bunch of sex worker chicks. They didn't know what OnlyFans was, right? So now you got everybody that knows what OnlyFans is. So that's a positive. It's marketing. It's getting more people to your thing. They're also bringing more people to the app, more people to the website that were originally on there. So that brings more attention and, once again, more money to the website, which also makes more money for girls. I think some girls just get jealous because they see these celebrities posting unobtainable numbers for them. But I always say, you know, the root of misery is comparison. Like, you know, just because you're making $1 million a month doesn't mean I'm going to be unhappy about, you know, if I was one of these girls making, even if you're a girl and you're making like $500 a month or whatever, you should still be happy about your $500 a month. You shouldn't be comparing yourself to who the fuck else is out there. Just get your bag and be happy about it. But during COVID, you've seen a lot more celebrities, you know, that probably can't do shows and stuff that are joining it. I see nothing wrong with it. I don't give a damn what anyone else does. I make a good living. I make some really good money on there for years. And I have a lot of girls that are underneath me that I coach and mentor and help them make the bag as well. And someone else making their bag has no effect on my bag, because Cardi B's fans are not your fans.
That's right.
Every time people say, oh my God, you know, they're taking our customers. No, they're not. Those are not your fans. Those people do not know who the fuck you are.
I think that's just always people's reaction, right? No matter what it is. I remember my friends who are DJs, all of a sudden when Paris Hilton started DJing and then all these DJs got mad, it's like, well, if you're losing a gig to Paris Hilton, right? Like, that's,
people who want to hire Paris Hilton don't want to hire you. Like, that's right.
Exactly.
That's like, what I'm saying. That's right? You're not in competition. And there is no competition with OnlyFans, because OnlyFans is a social media platform of where you can follow multiple people, follow multiple creators. So once the person signs the website, they just go to different platforms and they follow multiple girls, and they get like a Facebook-like news feed that shows them the pictures or the videos or whatever the girls are posting. So it's like, it's not a situation of one or the other. They can literally follow 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever girls, you know, as many girls as they want. So people should be more cross that.
Does having that type of like relationship to your fans, is it different than, you know, being in Playboy or having it be on your own channel? I wonder, you know, does that affect like the dynamic that you have with your fans?
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, you make different kinds of content. You make movies and music, right? And then you have your content on OnlyFans. And I just wonder, like, is that, you know, have you seen, like, the relationship to your fans change as a result of, you know, just that kind of dynamic that they can subscribe to, you know, naked pictures or whatever?
I mean, I've been doing naked pictures since I was 16. That's what I built my brand. So I'm not someone that really asked that to, because I was a Playboy model. I was a Playboy model for 2 years, and I built my brand on sexuality.
I guess that's what I wonder, right? Is like, that's my question. Is like, is there a difference between being in Playboy where it's Playboy's customer that's looking at your pictures versus this person that's subscribing directly to you and has a direct relationship with you?
They don't have a relationship with me. It's entertainment. I post it up, they buy it. So there is no relationship. I mean,
but that's a relationship, right? Is that they comment or they post or like,
I guess, I mean, I look at, this is all business. So in the day, I don't really see how any of this is different. You know, if I post a music video versus a sexy video, it's just content, entertainment, you know? So it's the same to me. Like, I don't really see a difference in anything. It's just content that you're providing and they're buying. Do people act differently? Like, no, not, you know, people are actually more respectful on OnlyFans than they are. Okay. People are actually more respectful on your OnlyFans than they are on social media, because people on OnlyFans are being their raw selves. They're not putting on a facade. They're not trying to say what they think is right for whoever the fuck's following them. You know, people are just being their own selves, and they mostly worship you and respect you on there. And, you know, they're clearly paying for it because they're a fan of yours in a different way. You're a fantasy to them. So those people are going to look at you like you're great, you're perfect, you're amazing. Like, no one's going to think you suck and you should die, and then they're going to subscribe to your OnlyFans and pay you. I think the difference is not, the difference has nothing to do with nudity or not like that. The difference is money. People respect money. And if people are going to give you their money, then there's going to be a tone of respect that comes with it, because no one's going to pay for something that they don't respect. So if they're paying you, that means there's some level of respect in that transaction versus YouTube or anything that people just go and see. But if they're going to go pay for it, it's a certain level of, you know, admiration that they must have for you in order to do that.
That's my answer. I love it.
I guess, yeah. But I mean, if someone just creates a bunch of content, it's all the same to me. It's all like basically the same.
Mm-hmm. All right, I know you got to get going. Let me do a little quick lightning round before I let you go.
Okay.
So, what's your favorite city to travel to?
Anywhere I haven't been yet, because I hate going to the same place twice.
What's on your list where you want to go next?
I'm gonna go everywhere. Me and Cameron got really dope. So it's not really about cities. It's more about countries, because, like, I don't really, you know, care about a specific city. I really want to go to Italy really badly. I'm going to go to Italy for a while, but there, pretty much anywhere in Europe, I'm down to go.
Okay.
I've already been to Amsterdam, Germany area. So anywhere, just more like Russia, you know, going to Spain, stuff like that, like anywhere. I want to go to all those places. I want to go throughout different parts of Africa. Like, I want to go to South Africa because it looks beautiful. I want to go to West Africa, like Ghana, and I want to go to Nigeria. I want to go to, I just want to go all over the place. Like, I just want to go to like every country I can get to. Go to Australia. And if there wasn't for COVID, I definitely would have been going on tour this year. I would have been traveling a lot more this year. So I'm pretty much just down to go anywhere.
Okay. Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ? Mm-hmm. DJ Quick.
I love DJ Quick. What's the last great book you read?
Great book? The actual last great book, I guess The High Rise.
I don't know it. I'm going to look it up.
It's a classic.
Okay.
There's a movie after.
Oh, there is?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not knowing.
It's a satire. I like satires. I like anything that makes kind of social commentary.
Nice.
And recently, you know, I'm a big fan of Lord of the Flies. So I like the book a lot. So I currently was trying to watch the movie. The movie was boring as fuck. I couldn't watch it. The one from like the 90s or whatever. I was trying to watch it. It was so damn boring. It was just too slow paced for me, the movie. I was like, I don't want to watch a bunch of little boys running around with no damn shirt on for an hour. So the book is good though. So I like stuff like that. I like, because that's also a satire society, you know, about different types of people, stuff like that. Anything that's, you know, in a witty way, self-reflecting our society, I like.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
Coming to America is my favorite movie, and I can watch it a million times. I can quote it all day. It's like the best movie ever made.
So good. I was waiting for number two this year, but I think they're waiting for the theaters to reopen.
Next year. So I'll definitely be watching that as well. I love anything with Eddie Murphy in it. I love him. Yeah.
Who has taught you the most someone you've never met that's taught you the most?
So who? Okay, so like a celebrity, I'm guessing.
Yeah, or it could be a book. You know, a author, you know, sports figure, somebody that you've witnessed from a distance that you feel like you've learned from.
You know, it's funny. I don't have like a one answer for that. I actually, in the past 2 years, have been watching a lot of commentary channels on, like, YouTube. I watch a lot of interviews and stuff. And by doing that, I get a lot of great insight. Because I'm that kind of person, like, I can't look at one person as, oh, my God, this person taught me so much. I like to kind of watch a lot of different people, get a lot of different insights. So I like to watch a lot of these, you call it drama channels, you know, people who make commentary on celebrities or current events. And okay. I like to watch these interviews and, you know, people interview a bunch of people about their opinions on stuff. And I like to get the insight from different people. And a lot of times I'll watch channels that even have opposing views from mine. But I think that it helps open my eyes to being a well-rounded person. So I could watch like Lovely Tea, Choice TV. I used to watch Vlad TV before the controversy. You know, No Jumper, you know, Joe Budden. You know, do Breakfast Club, you know, like I watch all that stuff and I watch a lot of it, like I said, to keep up to date what's going on, to give people different commentary, different opinions. And that actually, I know it sounds kind of corny because not a person, but watching a lot of those all the time has opened my mind to a lot of different opinions and options and stuff like that. And I think that's what's,
I like that. I think we all need to spend more time with people that disagree with us or that see the world in a different way, right?
Yeah. And
to just, you know, understand that our way of thinking is not the only way.
That's what I've been doing a lot of. Like I said, like I like watching a lot of these channels where people send their commentary, and you know, everybody has a different opinion. Like, some people might be for this, and then I might watch a channel that's against it. And you know, I don't get offended anymore. I actually just listen, and it's, I find it entertaining, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Or I might still disagree at the end of it, but I like this fact that I still know what that opposing person thinks. So I like those. Sure. Those teach me the most, I feel like, as a person.
Nice. Okay, my last question. If I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
If you worked for me?
Yeah.
Probably hurry up, work faster, do it now, things like that.
Okay.
Because that's mostly like my boyfriend and I work together. He's my manager and producer, and that's mostly what I tell him. Mm. So, because I'm very like, I'm really on it.
Sure.
Even when I'm hiring a DP or someone like that, I'm very like, hurry up, come on, let's go, let's get this done. Like, because, you know, people like to lollygag, people like to chill, people like to move at a slower pace. I'm not about that. So I'm very, like, with the quickness.
Nice. So. Cool. Well, what's coming up next? I know we're watching for Shark when that comes out. I know we got Black Man Magic. What's coming up next from Stormy Maya?
A bunch of music videos. I just banged out a whole bunch of them. I only had about 3 months of free time out here because of all the lockdowns. And I took advantage of that, finished the movie up, and got a bunch of music videos done. So I have a ton of music videos that I'm going to be dropping back to back. And the next one I'm thinking is going to be Pick Me. I got Daddy Issues coming up. Mm-hmm. I have a whole bunch of music videos coming out, so they're going to see that, a bunch of songs. A lot of the new songs that I'm releasing have features on them, so they're going to see me with other artists as well. And next year is going to be crazy, because next year is going to be power moves. If everything wasn't COVID up, there'd be a lot more crazy things happening. But sure. Because I've had some people offer, like, fly me to Cali or fly me to fucking Atlanta, all these random places. I'm like, nah, I'm chilling. You know, COVID and all that shit's happening. I'm trying to wait for shit to fucking chill. The border's closed. So I'm just laying low right now and dropping mad content. So you're definitely going to see a bunch of music dropping like crazy. We're dropping a single like every couple of weeks now. And, you know, the music videos are going to get more epic next year. When things open up and I have more resources, things will be a lot better. But for right now, I'm just dropping content and having fun with it.
Dope. I can't wait to see. We'll be following.
Of course. Be following. Yes. I have La Dope Mop. My track, Birthday Kid, just dropped. You know, that music video. I like that track. I was a new producer. And, you know, so I have a lot of fun stuff coming up. And I think that you're going to... excited. I've tracks with female artists and all that coming out, so you know, we're gonna do it up.
Nice. That's exciting. Well, I appreciate you making time. You know, let's have you back hopefully sometime in person. We can promote whatever else you're working on. I'm sure there's good things to come.
Of course.
That was Stormy Maya on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought. Hit us up on Twitter at Rebel Radio Net, our Facebook page at Rebel Radio Net. You can find videos of many of our episodes on our YouTube page. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio.